Let's jump right into it. Andrew Baggerly of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area covering the Giants down in L.A. Bags, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, Ray. And first thing I got to tell you is I am very relieved to hear your reminder that it's Yom Kippur, because when Rafa, the producer, called and said, oh, by the way, Ray's filling in for Marty, I thought, Marty needs a fill-in? What, did he get hit by a bus? What happened? You know, I'm very glad to know that Marty is very well, because, as you know, he very seldom needs a day off.
No, he doesn't, or any time at all. It's amazing during the season. But, no, he's just fasting today, so he might be a little cranky at the moment. But otherwise,
he's like Hunter Pence of broadcasters. He just plays every day, every inning, and you never need to worry about him. Just toss him out there and let him go.
He does. He really does. But today I'm going to get the full Marty experience. We'll be here probably till midnight. So I'll be in his shoes and gain a greater appreciation, I suppose, of what he does on the weekend. Hey, speaking of Hunter Pence, right off the bat, you know, I guess the talks are beginning, although very preliminary. Do you think they get this done before the exclusive negotiating period is over?
Well, you know, talking to Pence on and off through the year and talking with him a little more in depth about it about 2 weeks ago, he said, you know, I told him, I said, look, you've waited your whole career to be able to become a free agent. You can pick wherever you want to go. You've been waiting for teams to make that multi-year commitment. He was hoping the Astros would do it. They didn't. They dealt him to the Phillies. He was hoping the Phillies would do it. They went year to year with him, dealt him to the Giants. And then the Giants obviously made the decision to go year to year with him last winter. And he's like, look, I just want to be able to commit to a team. And I said, well, now that you're so close to being able to, you know, have, you know, the power to basically pick wherever you want to go, would you really give that up to sign with the Giants? And he said, as long as what they present me is fair, absolutely. I love it here. I love the city. Love being here. And he really doesn't like talking about it, because he's very much focused on every day and doing what he can to try to win. But, I think as long as the Giants present him something that he and his representatives feel is fair or near his market value, then I think he would sign. Now, what is that value? Well, he's obviously going to be making no less than $15 million. That's close to what he's making this year. And he's obviously going to get more than 4 years, because they just gave 4 years to Angel Pagan. So that those are sort of the absolute floors. You'd be looking at 4 years and $60 million. And I think he's going to get well north of that, just because, you know what? It's not just the speed and power and the fact he's a 2020 guy. It's the energy. That's what really is the most valuable thing about him, because we're way past the amphetamines era in baseball. And to be able to go out there and just be that kind of hyperactive guy who can stay healthy, stay durable, and be productive every single day. I mean, those guys are worth their weight in gold.
No, it's an impressive combination. And this week I've been saying, yeah, as a baseline, 4 and 60 plus an option. I think that's maybe a starting point. But, yeah, I agree. It's probably going to go north of that. And you compare him to Pagan, and he's a couple years younger than Pagan. He's got more power than Pagan. I mean, if you're going to make that comparison. But, it's the energy. And he seems to have the respect of his teammates. Maybe he gets the Willie Mack Award this year.
Well, I think he's probably a shoo-in for the Willie Mack Award. There's a few guys who definitely would qualify for it. But, I mean, you know, as I told him the other day, you know, not only is he on the way to becoming the first Giant to start every regular season game since Alvin Dark in 1954, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
Check out the story I wrote on Pence a week and a half ago on csnbayarea.com. A lot of stats there about just how unprecedented a run he's on, just being out there every day. And I figured out, this was as of a couple days ago, I walked up to him in the dugout, and I said, you know, you've played every inning in right field but 13 all season, and that's 98.98% of the team's innings. And he said, only 98.98? Oh, well, I was hoping to be a little more than that. So,
there's still time to bring it up by the end of the year.
And he says things like that, and you're like, is he joking? But he's actually for real. That's the most amazing thing about him is, you know, a lot of times guys will say things that they know sound good, and they're just kind of being phony about it. This guy's the real deal. You know, there's no faking what he's doing out there.
No, it seems like a good marriage, and you look at the market in the offseason as well, and, you know, you talk about market value. The Giants want to lock it up before they actually find out what his market value is. It's not a real strong market for outfielders, so that's another reason to lock them up.
Yeah, and I think Jacoby Ellsbury, I would have to bet that he's going to go back to Boston.
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of teams in on Shin-Soo Choo. That the Mets have been in sort of retract mode for a while, but they're putting out signals they might want to spend big on someone, and they really like Choo. They need a leadoff man and a center fielder. So, you know, if the Giants let Pence go, all of a sudden they need a left fielder, they need a right fielder, mm-hmm. and they've got Angel Pagan, who looks great so far, but he is coming off a pretty major surgery. So, you know, it's going to get pretty scary in the outfield if they don't re-sign Pence. So I just think they cannot afford to lose him, and they'll go to where they need to go to get this thing done.
We're chatting baseball with Andrew Baggerly of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area here as we get ready for the Giants and Dodgers. Ray Woodson in for Marty Lurie this afternoon. The first pitch tonight is at 6:10, 4:55 pregame show here on KMBR 680. The starting pitcher tonight, that's another situation in the offseason, Tim Lincecum. But from what I'm hearing right now, well, I'm hearing crickets so far.
Yeah, I talked to Timmy yesterday. It's kind of funny. Henry Schulman went and talked to Pence, and I went and talked to Timmy, and Henry picked the right guy. Pence told him that, you know, there's been some conversations, and Timmy told me nothing doing. He checked in with his agent the other day, not necessarily to see if the Giants had said anything to him, but just to check in, and he was told that there hasn't really been anything presented to them yet. So, and really the qualifying offer deal is going to affect Lincecum a lot more than it's going to affect Pence. You know, I think teams would go ahead and punt the draft pick to get a guy like Pence, who's still an everyday productive player.
Mm-hmm.
But Timmy, I think that if you sign him, you're pretty much signing him as a number four starter, basically, maybe a number three. But he's been inconsistent enough over the last 2 years, bordering on really lousy at times, that I think it would be very difficult for a team to part with that first-round draft pick. And another story that definitely, if you haven't seen it, check it out on csnbayarea.com. I break down why it might be very important just how many games the Mariners win over these next 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
because we all know that Seattle is a place that has a lot of that's home for him. And the Mariners would find him to be an incredibly marketable star to have in their rotation. And they might be the one team that would pick in the bottom 10 picks where those picks are protected, and they wouldn't have to give up that draft pick. But right now, I think they pick about eighth. But if they win a couple more games, they could pick, you know, very easily leapfrog a team or two, and all of a sudden they're picking 11th or 12th, where their pick is not going to be protected. So that could definitely be a factor as we set this thing up.
No, that's a great point and something to watch down the stretch. And, yeah, the qualifying offer, you're talking about a guy now that you look at as a three or four starter. But then, you know, there are some other variables. The free agent market looks better for starting pitchers, and it sounds like the Giants have a lot of interest in a couple of pitchers from Japan, too.
Yeah, definitely. They've had a lot of eyeballs in Japan, a lot of scouts flying a lot of different places. As you might have heard, Brian Sabia and Bobby Evans are down in the Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting a look at Jose Abreu, the slugging first baseman who just defected from Cuba, considered Cuba's best hitter, and has a lot more international experience than Yasiel Puig, a different kind of hitter, more of a pure power guy. So the Giants are definitely going to be in the mix for him. Masahiro Tanaka, probably Japan's best pitcher, is expected to be posted. And the Giants have sent a lot of different scouts, not just their regular Pacific Rim people, but a lot of their U.S.-based folks, even Pat Burrell, going to Japan to get a look at him and kind of gauge his stuff. And there's another pitcher, Maeda. And I'll tell you what, Yasiel Puig has really changed the equation for the Giants.
No doubt.
It's not a complete cause and effect, but you talk about one guy who's changed the way that they think about some of these high-risk international signings. You know, Brian Sabian is very much a guy who relies on track record, and he likes known quantities. And when you sign a guy who has only competed against, in the Japanese league, or a guy who's defecting from Cuba, we're not talking about the teenagers, the Angel Villalonas of the world. That's a whole different topic. We're talking about the guys who are a little older, a little more established. You don't know how they're going to play in the major leagues, whether it's a Cespedes or a Puig. We're seeing that these guys can not only compete right away, but be impact players right away if they're the right kind of players, the right kind of talent. And I think the Giants are now realizing that maybe the rewards are worth some of the risks in these areas, and maybe they do have to expand and be willing to do more than just sort of dip their toe in the water. And I think that's what you're going to see in this offseason.
Well, the international market, it is deeper now than it ever has been. And you're talking about, greater availability of talent. So why wouldn't a team at least show some interest there and investigate? The thing with Abreu here is, not terribly fast, not terribly athletic, but one of the better hitters to come out of Cuba, and maybe more suited for first base or DH. And if you'll excuse the term, maybe the Red Sox jump in the fray and the Giants get Sox blocked.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they could be. It only takes one team to go bananas, and then you just realize, okay, now the risk is getting to the point where there's no way it's worth the potential rewards. So it'll all depend on how the market shakes out, and that's something you can't really predict. It just sort of happens. But the other thing is that you have an international signing pool, and for these guys who are not, who are over 23 and have 3 years of professional experience or international experience in the case of the Cuban guys, those signing caps don't apply to them. So,
right.
And same thing with the posting fee in Japan. It might cost you $60 million to even get a seat at the table with a Yu Darvish or a Matsuzaka or in this case a Tanaka from Japan. But that money isn't subject to luxury tax. So, for the Yankees, the Red Sox, Rangers, these Dodgers, these teams that are on the cusp of the luxury tax, it's a really not much of a disincentive when half the money you're spending is basically in posting fee and they don't get slapped across the wrist for that.
A couple more minutes here with Andrew Baggerly of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area covering the Giants down in L.A., Giants and Dodgers tonight, Lincecum versus Nolasco. You think something's going to happen between the Giants and Puig before all is said and done this year?
No, I don't think so. I think that Puig is what he is, and he's, he definitely has a lot of flair to his game. That's an understatement. I think he's more the Dodgers' problem than he is the Giants', quite honestly. They have to live with him every day.
Yeah.
It's Don Mattingly's job to try to, tamp that down a little bit, make sure it doesn't become an issue either within his own clubhouse or with other teams, because it'll be a distraction every time that they, bench is clear against the Diamondbacks or any other team. Then it's a distraction for the Dodgers as well. And, you want the guy to be who he is. You don't want to feel like you're coming down on him or stopping him from letting out his personality. But, baseball is a very socialized game. It's very much a hammer-out individuality game. It's a game of conformity. And he hasn't had that time in the minor leagues to kind of just learn all of the nuances. If you're playing golf for the first time, he'd probably step in your putting line and not realize he did something wrong. And that's not necessarily all his fault. There's just a lot of etiquette to the game, and some of it's a little goofy, but these are the rules and the unwritten rules that have been formed over more than a century of professional baseball. And so I don't think it's his fault that he doesn't know this stuff, because he hasn't had the time to play a lot of stateside baseball to kind of learn it and understand it and get with the program, so to speak.
And real quick about Brian Wilson, and we've had an emotional reaction, obviously, among fans for obvious reasons. But I heard Mike Kruko say the other day, hey, he could come back here, that the bridges aren't burned. And how do the Giants themselves react to Wilson?
Well, this is the way that I sort of take away from it. I think Larry Bear is open to it. I think ownership is open to it. They know he's popular. They know that he, is a guy who's done a lot for this organization. I think if you were to ask baseball operations quite, objectively and honestly, they'd be like, we're done dealing with him. We don't want his act anymore.
Hmm.
We thank him for his services, but, we have a closer we like, and he's doing well. Let's put it this way. I don't think Wilson would come back as long as Sergio Romo is an effective closer, because then you're just opening up a can of worms. You're going to create a very interesting situation there, because we all know Sergio is a guy who, I don't want to say he's emotionally fragile, but he definitely pitches a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And if you all of a sudden bring in Wilson and make Romo the setup guy again, I'm not sure that's going to go over so well, even if he says the right things. I don't think that's a situation that you want to invite. So I don't see it happening now or anytime soon. But I do think that the Giants have to put a good face on this thing, a big bushy bearded face, because, you know, as we've said, Wilson has been involved in some pretty iconic moments, and hey, they're going to want to have the 10-year anniversary and 15-year anniversary, 20-year anniversary of all these things, and they're going to want him to be a part of it.
How long will the beard be by then?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Probably have some sparrows flying out of it.
Yeah, I'll have his own train. It'll be wonderful. Yeah. It'll be an awesome sight. Hey, Andrew, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it this afternoon. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Ray. Thanks a lot.
Andrew Baggerly of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area joining us on Marty Lurie's pregame show. Ray Woodson just carrying the ball this afternoon as Marty observes the Day of Atonement. He'll be back tomorrow.